Fish number 11202, reel 2.
Mr. J.C. Rogers, reel 2. You're receiving your uniform at Brandsmith, Mr. Rogers. What exactly did it entail?
It's a battle dress, ordinary khaki battle dress, denims, putties, which were in force then. Later on we got gaiters, but we had putties and we got those. Shirts, underwear, gloves, hats.
What kind of belting and webbing equipment did you get?
Was it web equipment? Yeah.
Packs.
Pardon?
Packs.
Yes, the small haversack and the large haversack. And
were you measured for your uniform?
No, we were just given it at the. Which I can tell you more about later, but the people that give you the uniform, by looking at you, can tell you the size. Because later on in the army life, I was doing the same job myself. So you look at a chap, you know, and the sizes, size 3, size 4, size so on. And as you went past, they said to you, size 9, size 11, 13, whatever it was, and you took it. When you tried it on, if the trousers were too long or the blouse was too wide, it didn't fit, you took it back again and you got the, he'd made a mistake and you got another one. But that was the way it was issued out to you.
Where did they take you after you got the uniform?
We left Brandsmith Castle, and we spent a full day at Brandsmith Castle, and they gave us a palliasse. That is a thing you lie on, that you fill with straw, but unfortunately there was no straw. So we were taken away with the palliasse and all our equipment on a truck and taken not very far away from Brandsmith Castle to a little colliery village called New Brandsmith. We were a church hall, and we were all laid out on the floor, and we were just out of sleep in the army. We found out later, adapt yourself to the situation, and we just had to do that because there was no straw for the palliasse, not even there. So we just lay on the bottom and we were all dog tired, and I think they were kind to us and they just let us have a bit free time and get off to sleep as far as you could. Some of the lads were a bit upset, the younger lads were coming in, because I was about 27 when I called up, so. And married, so I'd seen a bit more of life than what they had seen. Some of them were a bit upset, but on the whole, they were all light, happy and light-hearted about it. So next morning, we were going to be told and shown how to fit the equipment and everything like that, which the corporal come round, and he did. And he was Corporal Nicholson, and funny enough, I keep mentioning about footballers, but Nicholson played for Tottenham Hotspur, and later on in life he managed Tottenham Hotspur. Well, he was our full corporal, and he was a grand fella, clean, and a grand example for any new soldier, because he was nice and firm, you know, he could put them both together. He was a grand chap, and they come round and they taught us how to fix the equipment, how to put your putties on, and things like that. But that didn't take too long until I got here outside, and was just streets we had to drill in. The first of all would be, you would get up, go to the ablutions. That was a bit strange, because you all mucked in together, washing and shaving.
Were these in the church hall?
They were in the church hall. They'd been built, I think, especially for the intake of the soldiers. and at the ablutions, cold water. So that was you had to shave with the cold water, and different lads coming from different walks of life, you know, you had to be able to get yourself mixed in with them, because it's the army, when all these people are coming from different parts and different types of persons, some of them swear like Billy O, and some of them are nice, and you just have to get yourself worked in with them. And after your ablutions, then they always have us outside for PT, because it was early, early
time
night.
Did you get up?
Well, I would think about 6 or 8 on a morning. And after the ablutions, it was outside for PT, and I still shout that now when I'm having a bit fun, when I want anybody to move, because I never forgot it. It was cold sometimes, you know. We were all right in the early days because we had the summer coming on first, but after that, when it was outside for PT, whether it was sunshine or snow, you were out and you did it.
What were you dressed in?
Just short pants. We've got a white plimsoll thing and blue boxer pants, similar to that, and we used to do our PT.
What was PT? What
physical training? The arm swinging and hands on hips and moving to the side and swinging your arms out and all the
usual. How long
did
that last?
About half hour, and then you would be breakfast, and after breakfast it would be outside again. Because we, as I said, we're in a little collie village. And everything had to be done in the streets or the nearby farmers' fields. So we'd be out and we'd be doing some elementary drill in the streets, and the people in the street would be watching you while you were being trained. And then you would go into a field and you would have some Bren gun training or rifle training or something like that, you know. And that just went on.
When you were training and learning to march, was that done at light infantry pace?
Oh, yes. We started right from the beginning. It was 120. We had to take 120 paces to a minute. And easy. That was easy. The worst part about that was when you were doing your marches, your route marches, with the boots, when you first went in, you weren't used to the hard leather boots. And they used to skin you used to get out marching, they used to skin your heels, and in the end we found out different methods of how to stop this thing happening. We used to put soap into our socks and stop the blisters from coming. But eventually, after about a week or a fortnight, you got hardened to it, and your boots were just like a pair of shoes in the end.
What was your initial reaction to the whole army lifestyle that you're facing after being at home?
Well, for me, it wasn't too bad, because we've been a big family, and life hadn't always been easy. And although the food wasn't as good as what I'd been having at home, and you know, we could It didn't affect me very much, because I did a little bit of scouting as well, and I'd had a little bit of discipline, so it didn't affect me very much. More, I began to like it when after the first initial few weeks, when everything was bad, your feet were hurting, and you were tired, and you still had to get out and do the jobs, and the guards. That used to be a bit of a nuisance, because you 2 hours on guard and 4 hours off. Well, you hadn't been used to losing sleep like that, and you do 2 hours guard, then you get 4 hours off, and then 2 hours again, and then come the morning you've just got to start again on your usual duties. Well, you've had broken sleep and you're tired, and that used to be a little bit upsetting.
What were you guarding? What
well, it was only a matter of training. We were guarding. There was a picket that used to look after where we were sleeping, We would pick it there, and then at Ushermuir, which wasn't very far from New Brunswick, was what we called our headquarters, and that's what we used to do the guard on. It was hardly necessary, but nothing would happen in there, but you had to start straight away learning how to be a soldier, so they used to do that. And we used to do this guard on the headquarters. And of course, you were trained with the officers coming into the headquarters, recognising whether they were captains or majors, and if they were a major, they had to give a proper salute for a major, you see, major and above. So this was all taught to you in your training.
What kind of a salute was that then?
Arms. Present arms, yeah.
And below major, what was it?
Oh, they just spring to attention. It's attention below major. For a major and above, you present arms and put your... I forget what it was now.
Slap your arm across.
Yeah. Until they went past.
And how did you get from New Brunswick to the headquarters for guard duty?
We marched up.
What distance was that?
Oh, it was very far. It was about 10 minutes walk. New Brunswick to Ushermuir was only about 10 minutes. And then, of course, we used to do schemes in the outlying Towlaw area, you know. We used to do schemes at night time. Then we used to get emergencies. The guard would be on, then you would get an emergency. It was all training. We had rolls of barbed wire and different things, different men for different jobs, and we used to be taken away, and there were supposed to be parachutists that dropped in the nearby fields, and we had to go out there and sort them out, you know.
And this was all training?
Yes, it was all training, yeah. We have to do that.
What was the food like?
The food was very good. I couldn't complain about it at all. By the Sunday dinners, they used to be... they weren't like home, so, you know. And the people round about in the villages, they... I can remember going to church one day, and when I come out in uniform, there were some people come outside and they said, "Would you like to come down our house for your dinner?" And that happened a lot in the colliery places. So, although when we were getting our Sunday dinner, they weren't as good as what we were getting at home, we were able, at times, to have a nice Sunday dinner in someone else's home, because in the area they were very good at that. Of course, for me, every time I got a chance, I used to come back home. You know, we didn't get too many leaves, maybe once a month from there. But sometimes I used to break camp and to miss the CMPs, go the long way around. And I can remember one spot at Durham, I used to encircle the city, and I used to stand in one place waiting for the bus coming in. And now they call that place the Infantryman. And it was right on the spot where the public house, it was right on the spot where we used to pick the bus up for to get into Sunderland. We only got 7 shilling a week. When we joined up, we got 14 shilling. We got 7 ourselves, and we had to give 7 to make the allotment to your wife, which in the early days was all right for my wife, because the firm that I worked for, they were very good. They paid all the wages for a while, until lots of men started coming, and then that would drop it down. In the end, she didn't get anything. But she only got the 7 shilling, the allotment from me, and they kept 2 shilling off you for breakages or damages to any of their hoods. So you were left with 5. And I used to have out Friday night, maybe. That's what we got paid on a Friday. So I'd spend 0.5 crown. And keep the other 0.5 crown to come back home to get built up again for to keep me going for the rest of the week, you know. They visit the family, and they used to give you a little bit of 0.5 crown, and you know, you could always get something off the wife before you went back home. So we used to do that. And being near, it was quite good. I didn't have a great lot of worry, even about food or anything being there for the... I think we were there for about 12 weeks. And then we got posted to the battalion.
What, just before we go on to there, Mr. Rogers, kit inspections, did you have kit inspections?
Oh, yes.
And yeah. How were they conducted?
Well, you have a certain amount of kit, and you'll be informed that kit inspection, lay your kit out, and you just have to lay them out. And the sergeant used to tell you different special orders, so that when they come in, they could look at your kit and find out if there was anything missing. And that used to happen. And if you were short, you will perhaps a button brushed or something like that. You would have to get one, but you'd have to pay for it because you were short a kit. So that, if you hadn't any money, that come out of the 2 shilling that they kept off you for the loss of kit or damage to the window to the barracks or anything like that.
What kind of fatigues did you have during these first 12 weeks?
Well, the fatigues were, and I did them in my first few weeks. Peeling potatoes, confined to barracks, and things like that. Just the usual routine things. And I was a church-going fella, always have been, and I was put on fatigues for Sunday mornings, and I wanted to go to church, and I told them that I always went to church, and they were quite good about it. I saw Billy Nicholson, and he went and saw the Sergeant Major, and he said, well, he said, if he wants to go to church, he said, but make sure that he does his fatigues after, which, fair enough, we did them after. But there was one time we went out and we'd been down into the city, and we come back and we had a couple of drinks or so, and we were late. We had to be in by 10 o'clock or something, and when we got to the bus, there was a queue, so we were at the back of the bus, the back of the queue, and we missed that bus, so we had to get the next one. By the time the next one got in, we were late, so they were waiting for us, and we were all on a charge. It was about 12 of us. And we made our excuses, but they said there's no excuses in the army, that you should have went to the front of the bus. You were soldiers, and with no excuse waiting in the queue, you had to be in by 10 o'clock. You should have went in and made sure that you got back. So we got 3 days confined to barracks, and we couldn't get out.
And how was that charge dealt with? You went in front
of the company commander, and I remember one officer called Cooper. He was a hard man. He was standing while we were being dealt with, and they were given the charges, what they were, to the commanding officer. And when it had all been sorted out, the commander said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with you lot. And he was standing at the side, and he said, I know what I would do. He said, I would shoot a lot of them. And, of course, when you've only been in the army about 6 weeks, it's a bit terrifying, that. And it sunk in. I said, well... Is it that bad? But eventually it turned out that it wasn't really that bad.
What other punishments were prevalent in these first 12 weeks? What kind of things were going on within your company of men that were causing disciplinary problems?
Well, I don't... you see, being recruits... We were afraid of everything, so I don't think we did much wrong. You see, if anything was wrong, it was because, as I've said, we missed that bus, and we were at fault. But I can't remember or recollect any person doing anything out of the ordinary in our training time, because we were too scared. The discipline was terrific, and we were too scared to fall out of line. We did everything just as we had to do it, I think.
Did you get much opportunity to mix with the local people?
In Bransworth we did, yes. We used to go into clubs, and an outstanding thing about that was the old miners. When we went in, they would be reading the newspapers on the Sunday afternoon while they were having the drinks. And when we went in, they all give us the newspapers. And I thought that was grand. You know, a fellow been working all the week, and that was his life, sitting, going over to the club and having a bit read. But as soon as the lads went in, they were very kind to us. They gave us the newspapers, and as I've said, they couldn't have been better. On Sunday afternoon, than that, taking us to the house for the dinner. And in one particular time, my missus said she was getting a bit worried, you know, and wanted to come through. And she said, I've got a week I can spend with you if I can find somebody to take you. So after church one day, I saw the priest, and I asked him if there was anyone that could take my wife for a week. And he said, oh, I'll find somebody for you. And there was a woman who was very kind. She couldn't take me, because we weren't allowed sleeping out passes or anything in those days, recruiting times, you know. And this Mrs. Morn, or they call her in the Corrie place, Moffin, but with Mrs. Morn. And she took my wife in and the kiddie, and we had she had a nice time. When we're off, you know, we could go to pictures and play things like that, you know.
Had you much opportunity for sport?
There wasn't a great lot, but boxing. I used to box with Nicholson. He used to come in and he used to say, where's Rogers? And he used to get me in the middle of the floor. And then eventually there was a boxing tournament for the platoons in the company. So he entered me, and I boxed, and I got a good hiding. And I went home for my first leave, I think, with a black eye. But that was the only sport that we, other than the PT, that was organised in the time we were there.
What about, was there any gambling going on?
No, not in those days, no. What afterwards, plenty afterwards, when you got down to the battalions, but in the early days, no.
What films and newsreels did you?
No, we just had to make our own entertainment. It's, you see, it was a little colliery village, and there was nothing much there other than the club. And we were only able to go in there at the weekend. So we just made our own, more or less spent the time in the barracks, polishing up and getting our boots ready for the next guard or something, what was happening the next day, making sure that we were all turned out right to save ourselves from getting for another charge.
I think you mentioned leave, Mr. Rogers. Can you, how often did you get it in those early 12 weeks of training?
I think about once a month.
And how long was that before?
Oh, it was just a weekend. We never got anything other than a weekend leave as recruits. So we got back home for a weekend. Leave on the Friday night, perhaps, and what we used to call a weekend pass, and get back again on the Sunday night. They started the Monday.
What was the name of the unit? Can you recall?
This
training unit.
ITC, Durham Light Infantry Training Centre. ITC, Durham Light Infantry Training Centre.
In this early training, Mr. Rogers, you said you went on route marches. How far were these marches?
Well, about 10 to 15 mile, and we would march about 3 miles and get 10 minutes break and march again. And it used to be usually FSMO order, which meant field service marching order. That is a little kit on your back, and your rifle, of course. You never went anywhere without your rifle. And we marched, and the officers marched with us out in front, Sergeant Major at the rear, and encouraged to sing as we marched along. And we used to go right around all the country lanes, past the Usher Training College, where the priests train there. We used to see them as we went along. and for our breaks we used to sit on the roadside and get our 10 minute break, and then off again we used to go.
Did you carry food with you?
No, it was just the training route marches. We never carried any food in there. No ammunition. No, but you carried your rifle. That would have must.
What now? The route marches would be at ordinary pace, would
they? We always went at one pace. We always marched at 120 to the minute, and we went.
Weapons training. Did you learn about any other weapon in the first 12 weeks of the training?
The rifle and machine gun, the light Bren gun, Bren machine gun, and we used to go out in the fields, and we started off with the rifle, of course, first drilling with it, and then we were taught how to load it, you know, and later on we were taken over to Whitburn, which is not very far from here, and we used to shoot our course there on the rifle and the Bren gun, and we spent a weekend in camp at Whitburn. There again I thought, well, nice and near home, Whitburn, Sunderland, I'd get home at night time, but when I attempted, there was CMPs, no, you weren't allowed past a certain point, so they decided to have to entertain them after the shooting, and the shoot of the course, they decided to have another boxing match, so I was put into action again in one of the pubs over there, I forget the name of it now, but anyway, the sergeant majored and the sergeants organised this, and the troops all went in. Even if they had no money, there was something for them to do at night time. And we put a bit of a boxing competition on for them. And
about maintaining your weapons, how did you maintain the rifle?
Well, the main thing was you were trained to keep it clean at all times. And you had to oil it, and the barrel used to always have to be very clean, and they give you a piece of cloth which is called 4x2 that you slot it through what you call a pull through, that a weight on one end, and you slotted it through this rifle, and you pulled it, and you must keep your rifle always in that very good condition. And often they used to have rifle inspections, and the officer used to come, and the company commander used to come around, and every man used to have to stand and show his rifle to the officer and put his thumb at the back, because the thumb used to direct the light back, and he could see if there was any dirt in the rifle. But it always had to be kept in tip-top condition, the rifle.